In just a few short weeks, Anthology Together is bringing you the best of ed tech at the Walt Disney World Swan and Dolphin Resort in Orlando, Florida. Join the global education community to hear about what's next in the future of learning, get a firsthand look at the latest innovations, and discover new insights to help both your institution and students achieve their goals. The future of learning is here, and there's no better place to see it than at Anthology Together 2022. The event kicks off on July 11th, so register today at www.anthology.com/together. Welcome back, everybody. It's your time to ed up on the EdUp Experience podcast, where we make education your business. Dr. Joe Sallustio back with you again. I did this on the last episode that I recorded, but I never know what order they're going to come out in. But we just passed 150,000 downloads of this podcast. And I'm probably going to bring it up a bunch of times because we never thought in our wildest dreams that we could ever get 150, let alone 150,000. So we're pretty proud of that. And it's with great partners and great guests that we've been able to achieve that and get great guest hosts. So that's a bunch of hints for today on who I have here on the podcast. But we, as you know, we've done like 450 or so episodes about this time, 150 to 160 college and university presidents. We decided we're going to go for 200 or more by the end of this year, 2022. If we can interview 200 college and university presidents, we're not even sure if anybody's ever attempted or have been able to accomplish that in two and three quarter years. So we're going to go for it. We want you along for the journey. We hope you're listening. Some of you are. And if you're not, and this is the first time you ever experienced the EdUp experience, then I encourage you to go back and check out previous episodes that we've done. Some are funny, mostly because of my guest hosts and my guests, not anything to do with me. But we do have sound effects, as you guys know, and I've got a bunch with me. The first one I'm going to use right here, this is what he asked for, because this is what happens when he steps into a room at the place he works. Ladies and gentlemen, my guest host today.
Attention.
He's John Farrar. He's the director of education at Google. This is the sound your team gave me to play for you, John.
Attention.
What do you think of that?
I wish that were maybe that would help speed things along a little bit, but I'd settle for that being the entry for my 3 and 5 year old daughter that are often entrants into meetings like this. So I'll save that one, Joe. Pass it along. I'll see if I can pipe it through our house.
Your team sent it to me and they said, this is what happened. This is what everybody does when they see John.
Attention.
He's coming. You know, here he comes. So they got to get back to work or they're watching out for you. But you got a great team, John, I have to tell you. And I think that's an appropriate introduction for you because, you know, obviously Google has been a great partner and you've been a great guest host of this podcast. And we love having you back.
Well, thanks, Joe. You all have been fantastic. It's amazing to hear those stats that you just rattled off in terms of the growth of the show. I know I started listening toward the beginning of it as you were having key leaders on it. It's amazing to see where it's gone. Even as you've moved across the country, I know it's a new location for you in St. Louis. It's probably a little balmy there today.
A little warm.
But to watch, to see how this show has evolved, obviously with you and Elvin, and in previous years, Liz, it's been fun to watch. And I'm excited about who we've got on today. So thanks for inviting me.
Well, good transition. And she's ready. She's got her background up. She's representing. And here she is, ladies and gentlemen. Her name is Pamela Toney, and she is the president of Colorado State University Global. Pam, what's going on?
Well, thank you so much for having me on today. I'm excited to be a part of this podcast and all of those that came before me and helping you reach some of your goals. So thank you for this opportunity.
Well, good. And I'm glad you're here because CSU Global has been around for a bit and has been doing some great work. So level set for us first and assume that there's somebody on this podcast that is not familiar with CSU Global. What do you guys do and how do you do it?
Sure. So CSU Global was the first 100% online, fully accredited institution of public higher education. So we are a standalone institution. We aren't an online program. We are an online institution. And that's all that we do is online education for our students. And so we've been in existence since 2008, and we have been able to grow and help innovate in the education space and online. But most importantly, we have changed the lives of over 27,000 alumni who have been able to earn their credentials through CSU Global over the last 12 to 14 years. We do offer shorter term classes. We are focused on an asynchronous 8-week course, so we can allow students the flexibility to take classes on their own schedule. While there are due dates, there are not specific times that they have to be in classes. And I think one of the things that really sets us apart and makes us unique in this space, not so much unique anymore, but we're really proud to be a part, be really good partners with industry. And our core focus is on developing working professionals, helping them to move up in their career or move into new careers. And so most of the programs that we offer are really focused on the needs of industry and those degrees that are required in order to get into your field and move up in your field. So we're very focused on making sure that our programs and our courses and the skills and knowledge that you gain are focused around what you need when you move into the workforce.
Amazing.
See, I was saving that button for when I talk, but I give it to you instead, Pam. So interesting fact about you, Pam. It's super unique, I think, okay, is that you have this really deep financial aid background and become a university president. If you look at pathways to a presidency, one doesn't say, I'm going to go into financial aid. It is not typically, I say typically because there's exceptions, but it's not typically a path to a presidency that one would take. And so I'm asking you this for a couple reasons. Number one, because when you say you have short course programs, for financial aid people that understand aid, there's standard term, there's non-standard term, there's borrower-based award year packaging, there's standard academic year packaging. And to the average person, you go shorter classes or shorter terms. And I actually am dealing with this at Lindenwood where I work, when I say, oh yeah, non-standard term courses. And I have this like, you know, non-standard term conversation and people are just have no idea what I'm talking about. So it's all about financial aid. And so talk about your path through financial aid and how that's really prepared you for a university that's serving adult students because they want different things.
Sure. So my start in higher education was a financial aid advisor. And through that, I really found my passion for helping to create that pathway for people to have that opportunity. A lot of people are scared of financial aid. It's money. We talk about taxes. There's all sorts of scary words and things that happen when you have to go through financial aid. And I really made it my mission to make it easy, seamless for students so that they could understand it and move forward. And through that, I found that I had a passion for higher education because financial aid is a path for many students to be able to access higher education. Without that understanding, without that funding, whether it's grants or loans, they wouldn't be able to move ahead in their career. And it does make a difference. And that investment in themselves is really important. And so I started in financial aid. I came to CSU Global initially as the director of financial aid and really helped stand that up. And when you talk about non-term and term and all of those pieces, we went through the gamut. What is the best way to create this financial aid pathway for students? Because there's so many different ways you can do it. It gets very confusing. But we really want to focus on what is in the best interest of students. How can we ensure that they have the funding that they need in order to finance their education, but that we really are focused on financial literacy and ensuring they understand what it means. And so through that, I was able to learn more about all of the different operations around campus. And now I am in a position where I get to have a different impact. So while I don't get to individually work with students one-on-one anymore, I get to help lead an organization that is focused on students and helping them succeed and really transforming their lives through online education. So it has been a pathway for sure. And I think that my background in financial aid helps me understand the regulations and I understand the ins and outs of what makes it difficult. So when we have challenges or we have problems with students who can't complete their program or run into those issues, I really focus on the teams on how can we overcome these obstacles? How do we get students through this regardless? What support can we have? So I think it's a unique perspective, and it lets me utilize my best strengths across the board.
You must really, I'm going to pass to you, John, in a sec, but the how you were just a model, right? Because no one, I mean, I will tell you, I've interviewed a lot of university presidents, and very few, if any, that I can remember go, I started as a financial aid advisor. You are living proof that you can get to the highest level of education through financial aid. And so I say this to anybody who's working in financial aid, because I think Pam, so many times, and I've been doing this for a long time too, I think financial aid is underappreciated. Those people who work in financial aid are underappreciated a lot of times, because it's like they get the blame. You know, somebody gets verification. Oh, it's this bad financial aid advisor. It's like, it's the federal government, and, you know, or, you know, the FAFSA has to process and it takes 72 hours. Why aren't they turning? You know, so there's all sorts of regs around it. And I think financial aid advisors in general get kind of a bad rap sometimes, that they're holed up and they're not, or don't have as good of a personality as they should have, and so on and so on. I mean, it's just some of the stigmas, and it's great to see you kind of break that mold, because I think financial aid is a passive, is perceived to be this passive, like paper pushing kind of job, and it can be very active. You can run a university with that level of knowledge. And so I'm really happy that you're here. And I know we have a lot to talk about for CSU Global. I'll pass it to John, but I just want to say how excited I am about your background and how far you've gotten. That's awesome.
Great. Thank you. I think it's been great. And again, it really comes from, and I say this to my staff all the time, everybody has a critical role in student success and financial aid. Many students wouldn't be where they were at without financial aid. And so it is really important for a lot of students out there. And it is scary. It's a scary conversation. They're very hard conversations, because you don't always, it doesn't always turn out the way you expected, but there's always a pathway. If there's a will, there's a way. And so I always talk to all of my financial aid advisors, as well as the rest of the staff and faculty that we work with, is that they are a critical piece in helping that student succeed. And I think that that's really where our focus lies, and everybody works under that, and we help make students' dreams come true.
100%.
Well, it is definitely an interesting background. It probably speaks to why I think, Pammy, you've got one of the more unique takes and maybe focuses on outcomes generation. I've heard you talk several times about the ROI generated by CSU Global for your students, how passionate you are about making sure you understand what happens to your students after graduation. This is one of the passion points for me that I think tech can help be better partners for universities, in terms of not only understanding what happens right after students graduate, what happens then 5 years, 10 years down the road? How does that then relate to how we can be an ongoing part of their upskilling, reskilling journey throughout their career stations? That's my own soapbox. I would love to hear a little bit more about like your ROI focus, how CSU Global is tracking outcomes and how you see that evolving over time. I do think that's unique to you and probably has a lot to do with your financial aid background in terms of it being.
Yes, and my predecessor, Dr. Becky Takeda-Tinker, was very focused on outcomes and driving results as well. And I think that at CSU Global, it is all about the students. Everybody is focused on what can we do to help students? How do we drive outcomes in the classroom, in the programs, and then beyond graduation? And so we're always looking at collecting that data. One of the ways we work with external companies, who really have helped us to gather that information on our students so that we can ensure that they're getting a return on investment. And we look at that at the individual aggregated student level, at the program level, so we understand, are our programs really helping students succeed? Because if you can't do anything with our degree, then I don't know why we're offering it. And so we really look at where are they at? How are they progressing in their career? We also focus on not just what happens from the point of graduation on, but we ask for the data, what were they doing before that? Because many of our students are working adults. We work with adult learners. The average age of our population is 35, 36. They're out there working already, trying to get ahead. They have families, they have priorities. And so we wanna make sure that we're doing the best we can to get them what they need so that they can improve their lives. So we look back at where did they start? What was their salary? What was their jobs when they started with us? And we track that over time and 5 years out to ensure that they have that return on investment. We just completed that study here a few months ago. We just got our updated data and we found that for every dollar that you spend and invest in yourself here with CSU Global, you have a lifetime return of $4.90. So almost a 5-to-1 return on that. And I think that that's amazing for our students to be able to go out there and have that impact, that economic impact on their lives. And what that means for their families, because without that, they may be struggling in all of those pieces. But we want to make sure that online education is not easy. I have to say that because a lot of times people think it's a convenient, easy solution. I'll just go online. But it takes work from the student and it takes work from the faculty to build those collaborative relationships so that they can really have this amazing experience that's going to help them learn the information and content, but more importantly, apply it in their day-to-day work.
And I know it's an important part, and I know I've heard you talk about curriculum development also with industry to make sure that, you know, you're giving people the, I guess, quote unquote, hard skills that industry is requiring, surrounding those with the success skills that universities provide. How does that curriculum development process work in terms of, I guess, your industry partners? Maybe a little bit, I'm assuming that's a big part of why that ROI is as high as it is.
Yeah, so our curriculum development process is, it requires multiple people. So we have our program directors who help develop the program concepts, and we work with instructional designers, and we work with our curriculum team to build out what we believe students should be learning. How it aligns to industry. We bring in those industry partners and we get that feedback from employers and experts in the field. We work with content experts to ensure that it's aligned. I think the other piece is we're always evolving our curriculum and content to make sure that it's most relevant. And so the typical cycle is every 5 years they're able to revise their classes, and we're revising classes every 1 to 2 years, depending on what those programs look like. And because we want to make sure that they have the most up-to-date content and they're learning those skills that they can apply in their work. And we get that comment all the time from our students about how what they learn in class this week, they're actually using it in their day-to-day job in the next week. And that is really important to us, that it's not just the theory behind things, but it's that applicability to the workforce.
Got it. I got one more here, Joe, and then I'll hand it back to you. But you hit on something in terms of incorporating that, I guess, that real-time content from industry. I know there's been a rise in short courses, certificates. Google is the owner of some of those with our Grow with Google certs. I know you're doing things with Amazon. I saw recently that you're launching sort of a healthcare cert. Talk to me about how you see that evolving, maybe for the industry overall, and where Colorado State University Global is, I guess, planting its seeds in that realm going forward.
Yeah, I think there has definitely been a shift for many, many reasons. The economy, COVID, there's all the reasons why there's a shift. But students really need real-time education now more than ever. And sometimes the thought of trying to complete a 4-year degree or a 2-year master's degree is a little out of reach. So like, I don't have that kind of time. And so we've been really working on ensuring that our courses are applicable now. So you can take one class with us and use those skills right away, but making sure that it's stackable and transferable to a program in the future. And so we are looking at, we have undergraduate certificate programs, we have bachelor's programs, we have undergraduate certificate programs, master's programs, and we just launched what we're calling CSU Global Direct, which is focused around short time, one class. Take one class at a time, go at your own pace so that they can get the skills that they need now. Because we want to be able to make sure that we're meeting students where they're at today, but we're also looking for that long-term and helping them get to that credential. So it's taking longer for students to complete those credentials. There's been this shift in just the workforce with the employee shortages, where the question of do they need a bachelor's degree before they start this job is really coming into question. And so we're helping to really seamlessly put students in a position where they can get that job, but they can continue on that bachelor's degree. So it's going to be, it shifts every now and then. The world changes depending on the needs and the economy. And sometimes education is at the forefront, and employers can be really picky about who they're bringing into the workforce and who they're bringing on their teams. And right now there's employees really have the option there. And so we are seeing a higher level of investment from companies in really tuition benefits. We're seeing that as an opportunity. The Amazon partnership speaks to that, where they're really helping their employees to stay engaged at work through this employer reimbursement tuition benefit, where they'll pay for them to get their education. So it's really a win-win for universities and for employers when we can partner together like that to make sure that even if it's one class, we have a class that we can help put you forward and make you more effective in the workplace. And then we can also transfer that into your bachelor's degree as you go. So you can kind of work on it as you work through your life.
Anthology Together is one of the world's largest education events, bringing faculty and administrators together to share best practices, testimonials, and creative solutions using technology. Join your university colleagues for a week of networking and learning at the Walt Disney World Swan and Dolphin Resort in Orlando, Florida, this July.
I promise now, Joe, this is my last one. Do you see a day, and maybe this is my hope, but do you see a day where people will get their undergrad degree, and that will also come with a, you know, a certification from an Amazon, a Microsoft, you know, a Google, so that there is the best of both worlds, and that is actually integrated into the curriculum? I guess I'm the son of two professors. We talk about this all the time when I'm home, and I would love to see that come to fruition. I do feel like the time is now in terms for that dialogue to happen, where maybe it wasn't happening before, but is that just wishful thinking on my part, or do you think that's where we're going?
That's what we do. So we try to ensure that we have those pieces. And in our computer science program, we do have the courses prepare you to sit for the TIAA certification, the A+ certification, the Security Plus certification. We have alignment with SHRM and their testing and certifications. So we like to make sure that that's built in. So again, you can get what you need now so you can get ahead, but you're also building that educational credential as you go, because I think it is really important. There is a lot of value to that. And on the flip side of that, when students do have those certifications, and maybe that's all they have right now and they've been working in the field, we really focus on ensuring that they can transfer that experience in as well. So we focus on how can we get you the most transfer credits for your previous education, any training and credentials that you've received along the way, and that prior learning experience. So we really look at how do we maximize what you have done as a human being in your work life, and make that applicable to education. And so I think that it is coming to fruition. And I think that is one of the things that industry is asking for. How can we include these things so that we know they have what we need? And we're looking at doing more of that as we move forward and add on and look at new opportunities for programs.
I think I got to take back over now.
Attention, Captain speaking.
All right, Pam, you brought up a lot in that last piece, and I'm gonna piggyback off of John's question, because integrating certs is one of the most talked about, or you know, certificates or alternative pathways to degrees is very highly talked about, particularly in the tech sector. Not as much in other sectors, right? Because it's dependent on, you know, if you're going to be an MD or something, you're going to still have to go get your degree if you want to perform surgery or something, right? So there's a little bit of a divergence between the tech sector that's looking at those types of stackability of credentials versus other parts of maybe less, I don't want to say innovative because industries innovate all the time, but maybe there's just a different, expectation of speed in the tech sector than there might be in other industries. Anyway, I want to lay that out there because that's the first kind of half of my very complex and long question that I'm putting okay. in front of you. So the tech sector, it may be a little bit ahead in not requiring degrees and looking at hard skills and success skills and saying, we don't need a degree for this. And then you look at how to integrate that that stackable credential within a degree program. And you talked about it, a prior learning assessment, transferability of credits. You have to have processes built around those things. You have to build curriculum to include that stackability. Is it for credit? Is it non-credit? You take something that sounds so simple, and we like to talk about it so simply, like, oh yeah, make it stackable. Oh, it's a micro-credential, just do it. And then when it actually comes to execution, there's like, you get into the real bureaucracy of higher education in order to do those things. So anyway, with that whole buildup, how do you stay ahead? Because this is not new. People are doing it. You know, online education's growing. How does CSU Global stay ahead of the curve?
I think that's built into our DNA. We're always looking for continuous improvement. When it comes to stackability, there's a lot of buzzwords around the same information, and it all comes down to learning outcomes. And if we can focus, and that's what we focus on. What are the learning outcomes? How are these connected to each other? Because that's how you build a course. That's how you build the program. That's how you build the well-rounded employee that we send off into the workforce. And so it can be simple, and sometimes we overcomplicate it because we want to call it something cool and shiny, and we want to do that. Our focus is really on what is in the best interest of the students and how do we connect that back to industry and employers. And it does come through that. So if you've learned things along the path, just because you learned it in a different way than sitting in a classroom doesn't make it any less important. And it's the same learning outcome that you've gotten. So that's why we really focus on how can we ensure that you get credit for what you've learned and you demonstrate that you've learned that and you have those skills and abilities. And then how do we build on that? And I think that there will always be a place for credentials, even in the tech space. You see, you can go to these boot camps, you get the coding, you can do the coding, you can do all of that. If that's all you want to do, great. But if you want to move up and you want to move to other organizations, you have to learn how to learn about more than just that one specific skill set. And so that's really what stackability is about. It's about really creating these well-rounded employees. And education has a critical part of that. Faculty is in the classroom because they help to engage learners and think differently about the content. It's not just about the content. It's about how you think about it. It's how you apply that information. How can you use things and think about things differently? That's how we solve problems. You have to take the information, knowledge, skills, and abilities and apply it in a different way. And so that's what we do in our day-to-day work every single day. And that's what we encourage and engage students to do as well. And we do that in the curriculum. We do that outside of the curriculum. And it's really about just bringing all of those pieces together and really demonstrating the value of all of that learning that has occurred.
I feel like you, more than most, you'll appreciate this conversation, because when you talk about stackability or micro credentials and like you talked about buzzwords, one of the things that comes up is, is this financial aid eligible? Is this financial aid eligible? Or is it nine credits? And if it's going to be nine credits, we need to call it a certificate and create an exit for the student. And so that when they re-enter with those nine credits, it transfers immediately into their program. Or if it's not financial aid eligible, how much are we going to charge? And how do we think that we're going to get any students to pay cash? And do we going to have payment plans? And if we don't have it financial aid eligible and there's no Pell or anything like that, are students even going to come here? And how is that her marketing? There's a whole nother layer of decision making when you decide you want to do something that is so related to financial aid that we never talk about. All right, it's like, okay, let's do a certificate. Is it nine credits? Is the accreditor going to approve it? Is a nine credit certificate course for credit? And then we start going certificate, and we use certificate as a buzz, you know, like it's going to be a certificate program. And then somebody goes, wait a minute, is this non-credit or for credit? Four credits? No, I thought it was three credits. No. I mean, are you going to get credit or are you not going to get credit, right? And it becomes this whole mess. You must appreciate that, because I'm doing this all the time too. And I'm like, wait a minute, we got to get our words right here.
Yes. No, and I feel like I'm always, that is where my focus comes from. I'm like, that's my first question usually, especially we've worked with some outside vendors. And that do boot camps and things like that. And that's always my question. Are you interested in getting Title IV aid for this or not? What is the model that you're trying to do? And I think that there is a path in both ways. I think that financial aid does create some additional hoops that you have to jump through. But if you understand those regulations and you understand what those pieces are, you can put it together to where it can meet the needs of both. But that is always a common question that I have. We actually, with our CSU Global Direct programs, that is our non-degree seeking path. So that is not Title IV eligible. So we're very clear about that. But we do really focus on how do we price this so that students can afford it. And we're always looking at for those different partnerships. We have a really great partnership with an external partner who really helps to collaborate on these pieces. So we have institutions who may not have online education options. There's institutions who students just need that couple of classes to graduate and they don't want to wait a whole nother semester. So we're partnering on some of those consortium agreements where they can take classes with us and it applies to that. So they don't even have to come here. So we're all about how can we be creative? And so I think that that does allow, because financial aid, sometimes you do have to be really creative with how you think about how do we put this package together for students? How do we talk about this? How do we get them what they need? And so it really goes into our pricing models. When we know it's not Title IV eligible, we look at that differently. We can do more if it's not Title IV eligible because there's not as many restrictions, but sometimes that it becomes price prohibitive. So we look at all of those different factors and then we find where does this fit? Where's the best place to fit with this? But there's less cost if you don't have financial aid either, because then there's a lot of red tape you don't have to go through. So there's a lot that we can do. And it just requires us all to come together and collaborate and really hold that vision and figure out what do we want to do and what is going to benefit the student the most. And that's usually how we decide things. This is the best way to do it for the student. And we do that and we move forward.
Every now and then I get to decide things too. And I'm going to decide that we're going to have and play and have another episode of Higher Ed Word Association.
Okay.
This is where I give you a word or phrase. Of course, we're living in the higher ed world here. I'm going to give you a phrase that you hear sometimes or have heard related to higher education. You're going to give me the first words, thoughts, explanation that comes to your mind. Don't give me back one word or one phrase answers. You got to elaborate for me a little bit or else it makes the episode horrible. And we don't have that here on the EdUp Experience. We're going to start with my good brother here, John Farrar, to go first. So he could totally screw it up, Pam, before you have to go, okay? So that's why I bring along the guest host. Okay, are you ready, John?
Yeah, I'm ready to lower the bar.
Okay. Here we go. If you build it, they will come.
I think that, well, when you say that, I immediately think of obviously the famous movie behind it, but I do think it's a unique window of time in higher ed where we have the chance to build new offerings between industry and higher ed, which again, a huge passion point for me. People like Pam are doing that. I'd love to see even more of that innate collaboration. I will also say Pam's listed off a number of her partners that she keeps alluding to. She alluded to Amazon. She has not mentioned Google yet. So clearly I've got my work cut out for me. And hopefully if we build something together, more of her students will go.
Absolutely. Okay, we'd love to partner with Google. We'd love to help you.
Got that on the record. Got it on the record.
See, it was said here live on the EdUp Experience podcast. Okay. Pam, if you build it, they will come.
If you build it, they will come. I think that's really, that speaks to innovation. And I would say what I see in education technology now, we have so many different people getting into ed tech space and bringing you all of the cool things that you should have in your classroom. I think at least three times a week, I get an email from somebody asking me if I want to look at their technology, because this will help with engagement, this will help with retention. And so I think there is this mentality that if we build things out there, then people will use it, and then it's just going to make everything better. And so that's how I would probably explain that. That is from my perspective. That's where I see that coming from.
Okay. Ready? John, you ready for this one? This is called meatball. Okay. So you could hit a softball with a 2x4. Google pay-per-click advertising.
Oh, great tool to attract students. And I think one that's evolving in terms of how do we provide students the best journey in terms of what they're searching for? And that's where I go back to, I know I'm a broken record here, but the more that we can partner with universities, we can help in that experience in getting people to the right programs, whether it be 4-year degrees, 2-year degrees, certificates, location-based, stuff that meets, to use PAM term, where the student is. Pay-per-click advertising, also known as search, is a great tool to help universities do that.
Okay, Pam, Google PPC.
Google PPC. The first thing that comes to mind is marketing and SEO, and we have to make sure we have the right words on our website so students can find us and the pages, and we can rise to the top of the search. That's what we're always focusing on. And then Google every once in a while likes to change up their algorithm, and then we have to start all over again. So it's a fun experience every time.
Yeah, it's John. John is the one behind the scenes doing that. And I'm going to give you his cell phone number so you can call him and complain directly to him between the hours of 12 a.m. and 3 a.m.
I've never heard that concern before, Pam. You're the first one.
That's funny.
I hear from my marketing team. They're like, okay, they finally get it. And they're like, oh, no.
Yikes.
Keep us on our toes, though.
Yikes.
Okay, here we go. All right, John, next one is to you here. We're going to go with technology implementation.
Alluded to some of, like, that there's a flood of information coming at educators and institutions right now, and the implementation word can have several different connotations. I think on our side, in terms of, I guess, representing the tech community, we have work to do in terms of simplifying that and making the most relevant solutions. Pandemic put us in a whole new modality range, and I think as tech providers or tech partners, we need to do a better job on making it easier. So when we get to the implementation phase, it's not as cumbersome.
Technology implementation, Pam.
Oh, it's one of my favorite things. I think what I've seen with technology implementation is that there's this mindset that if you implement the technology, it's just magically going to work, and there's not a lot of effort to it. And that's always a misconception. And so you need to understand your processes first and then apply technology second. Because if you think implementing some new technology is going to solve your problems, it will make it worse.
Yeah, you know, and I think so many people who come on this podcast would agree, with the explosion of ed tech, there are so many technologies that do so many different things that you think you need, but you're not sure you need, but it's cool at the time, so maybe we should implement it. And then you implement it and nobody uses it, you've wasted money. Or how do you even choose? You know, you could have 15 different companies doing something similar and making that choice and squeaking it into a budget. It's all really hard. It's almost harder than it's ever been, don't you think, Pam? Just be able to choose the right thing.
It is, it's absolutely. And you never know which technology is gonna work the best for your students. I think that's really the key piece there. And then you're so invested in this technology and everybody spent so much money and time trying to get it implemented. And it's really frustrating. And sad when you're like, okay, this is just not right for our students. They're not using it. It's not important to them. It's not helping them. And so you have to make hard decisions sometimes about that, but there is so much, but it doesn't solve all of your problems. It doesn't solve them without the right process behind it. And so taking a few more minutes on the front end to make sure that you really understand where you think it's going to help, and then evaluating it, that's really critical, is evaluating the usage and how that's working and are you getting the outcomes that you expected, goes a long way in ensuring that you can really partner with those technology firms and you can give them a reference. Everybody wants a reference, but if it's not going to work right, you don't want to go and say bad things either. So we mm-hmm. always make sure that we're effectively evaluating it and taking ownership in what might not have worked for us. But that doesn't mean it's not going to work for somebody else, because everybody works with students differently.
Well, we're going to need to go to the judges and find out who won this episode of Higher Ed Word Association. I'm just going to throw it out there and say to the judges, John Farrar won this episode of Higher Ed Word Association. Judges, what say you?
False. False.
Okay, the winner is Pam Tony. Ladies and gentlemen, another episode of Hired Word Association with Pam and John. Let me find the right button here. All right, John, over to you.
Pam, I've got one last question for you. It has to do with the strategic vision that I know you just announced for, I think, for 2024. But to the extent that you can talk about the components of that vision, and really, if you execute it, where will CSU Global be upon conclusion? I guess, what is your North Star, and how are you getting there?
So our newest vision is that we are developing the professionals for the workforce of the future. And what we have a lot of work to do in order to do that, but it's really based on ensuring that we are having very good collaborative conversations and partnerships with industry and engaging with strategic partners to help us make this vision come true. We're really focused on student success. It's all about the students and making sure that they're getting the outcomes that they expect from us, and really focusing on that innovative experience and making sure that they are getting the tools and resources and that learning that they need. And finally, our fourth pillar is just really about us and our culture and ensuring that we have a strong and sustainable entrepreneurial culture, always looking for continuous improvement and making things better and really enhancing that experience for our staff and faculty, as well as our students. And this is going to help us develop not only students to be really great professionals, but it helps our employees and our faculty also be really great professionals, which is what we need as we're looking toward the future of coming out of all of these things, economics that are happening in the world today. There's going to be a lot of hard work for this, but that is really where we're headed. And we're looking to really help drive the success of our students forward today and in the future.
All right. Well, we'd like to close every episode, Pam. By the way, I think you and I need to get a coffee together and talk financial aid, because I love to talk about it so much. I'll reach out separately and I'll say, Pam, I'm coming to see you. Last two questions. What did we not say about CSU Global? Anything you want to say? Anything coming up? Any initiatives you have going on? Anywhere you're speaking? Get to plug your university as much as you'd like for a couple minutes. And then after you're done with that, you get to tell us what's the future of higher education?
Okay. That is a loaded question.
Yes,
so I will just say that I am really proud of CSU Global and all of our staff and faculty and our students. We're really having an impact and transforming the lives of others through online education. And with that, we talked a little bit about our CSU Global Direct. So if you're interested in just seeing what our classes are about, that's a great opportunity for you to get connected with the university. We also have three really great new programs that are launching with our first cohort starting in the fall, and our fall starts in July. But we are launching our first MBA program. So we will have a master's administration program that students can enroll in. And I think that one starts in September. We also have a really amazing, innovative master's in marketing program, as well as a master's in interdisciplinary studies. So you can really build your own custom program through that and get the skills and that knowledge that you need to make you a better, well-rounded individual. With that, I would say, where is higher education going? Higher education is always going to be absolutely critical for the success of humanity. Whether you're in an online program with CSU Global that's really connected to industry, or you're in a research-based institution, higher education really helps to raise that bar for society. It helps you learn, how to interact with individuals. And it's more than just the content that you learn in the class. It's about applying that to yourself, to society, to the work that you're going to do so that you can have a greater impact. So while things are a little bit rocky right now, and I think that there's a lot of uncertainty that was definitely caused, it was tipped off by COVID probably. I think it's always been underlying there. And we often hear people questioning the value of higher education and the value of the degree. And CSU Global can report to you that there is definitely a very significant return on investment with the education that you get from us, as well as other institutions. And it helps us all grow together and be better and do better and have a greater impact on society at large.
Yeah, you know what? That ROI piece that you can communicate, that you do communicate at CSU Global, I think is really a holy grail moment for many schools that wonder, how do we really produce and communicate an ROI? So well done to you and your team. Of course, before I let you go, Pam, I need to outro my guest co-host today. He's John Farrar. And John, you've been amazing as usual.
Thanks for having me, Joe. Pam, it was great meeting you, and hopefully we can connect again.
Absolutely.
And of course, my distinguished, financially aid aware guest today, and now a president of university. And I say to you, financial aid folks out there, contact Pam. Well, I don't want to say contact Pam, get overwhelmed. But there is a path for you to ascend to the highest level. I'm so excited for you to have somebody to look at and see that path in Pam Tony. Of course, she is the president of Colorado State University Global. Pam, I hope you had a good time in the EdUp experience today.
Absolutely. Thank you so much for having me. It was a great time, and I learned just as much from you as I hope you learned from me today. So thank you so much for this opportunity.
Ladies and gentlemen, you've just EdUpped. Anthology is leading the next wave of EdTech innovation and unlocking student success on an entirely new scale. Ready to take a closer look at what's next in the future of learning? Join fellow faculty and higher ed experts for Anthology Together, one of the world's largest education events, taking place next month at the Walt Disney World Swan and Dolphin Resort in Orlando, Florida. Anthology Together features some of the most innovative professionals from the global education community sharing insights and best practices for institutional and learner success, both inside and outside of the classroom. Register today and attend tailored sessions on topics like creating more dynamic courses for your learners and strategic decision making across recruitment, admissions, and enrollment. The time is now. Visit www.anthology.com/together and reserve your spot before the event kicks off on July 11th.